This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And good morning to you. Harvey's not with us this morning, so you're stuck with me, Darren DeMello, and a couple of regulars who've wandered on into the studio, bearing caffeine, which is always appreciated at this time of the day. Rob Druitt from First
couple
National.
Of, serial offenders, would you say.
Well, at this time of the day, that's quite appropriate. First National Druitt and Sheehan and MDS Legal's Paul Donovan. Morning, fellas.
G'day, Darren.
Happy New Year. I haven't sort of had a chance to say that to you guys at all. Just out of curiosity, I mean, is it that time now that, you know, school's starting and holidays are wrapping up, and does volume start to pick up in the property market from here?
Theoretically, it should, most definitely, yes. And it is. Yeah, we've definitely, anecdotally, talking to fellow REWA agents, and from our view, there's been a little bit of a pickup in activity.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of, I'd say, artificially quiet leading up to Christmas. So REWA figures out, and we'll talk a little bit later in the show about that for the December quarter, but that last half of 2016, I think, will go down as being the bottom of the market. It felt artificially quiet. There was a lot of people holding off, waiting, but of course that puts in pent-up demand, and then come into the new year, hasn't gone ballistic, hasn't gone crazy, but there is a pickup in activity, and it's, I'd say, a more normalised market.
Okay. Well, and you talk about, I mean, really, it's confidence is everything, isn't it? And that's sort of what was behind that restraint towards the end of the last year?
Very much so. And the strange thing, I suppose it's not that strange, it's human nature. Buyers like to buy on confidence. They feel nervous, which is fair enough, when the market's down, which probably is the very best time to buy. But then there's that feeling, well, wait a minute, maybe it'll go down further. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be looking and say, I could have bought that. But also the thing with real estate too is that it's opportunistic. It's not like we've got the same product right across the whole of the state and the city. They're different houses, different opportunities. So yes, the market might drop a little bit further, but that particular house and those features and that price may not come up again. So
very few people are in a position to be able to go, you know what, I'm going to wait for the bottom of the market. You know, I mean, not everyone can do that. People are just going to do it when they can, don't they?
Well, you can try, but who's going to know what the bottom? Not even the best pundits, the most experienced real estate agents, whoever can tell you what is the bottom. The only way you can tell the bottom of the market is 6 months down the track.
That's right.
But there are lifestyle issues too, aren't they? In the sense that no doubt what Darren, you're referring to there is this idea that people put their lives on hold trying to predict what markets are going to do, and in the meantime, yes, they don't have a nice place to live in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got to get on with it.
That's
you
know? Right.
You're retired, yeah. You're moving, you're downsizing, whatever. And the old adage too is you're buying and selling on the same market.
Yeah.
So it is actually a better market. There are opportunities in this one for trading up because prices are compressed. 10% fall on $1 million is more in dollar terms and 10% fall in 500. So it's a better market to trade up, quite frankly, and less transaction costs and low interest rates. So, yeah. I think 2017 will be a more consolidated year in the real estate market.
We're getting some positive talk here. I mean, I know we've had, and we'll talk about this when we talk about the results in a moment or two, but some conflicting, I don't know, we see every time you look at something, you seem to get a different view of where the market's at.
A lot of people have opinions, which is fair enough. Everyone's got their opinions. But also we have pundits and commentators right across the country. And this is a very broad country, Australia.
Yeah.
It's a big country, and it varies dramatically. And our East Coast and West Coast markets have been totally different. In fact, they have been counter-cyclical for as long as I can remember, i.e. at the moment you'd say we're at the bottom of our cycle. East Coast is at the top of their cycle. So we're starting to see, this is anecdotally, I've had a number of people ask me, from Sydney going, wait a minute, we wouldn't mind buying a house in Perth because it's actually half the price of Sydney.
Yeah, right. Well, you hear talk about what median prices are in Sydney and you go, wow.
$1 million.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I thought we were kind of up there, but
look at your $500,000 house here in Perth, comfortable, fine, that is $1 million in Sydney.
And that adds to the difficulty, though, with setting interest rates, doesn't it? That you've got these two sides of Australia that are very, very different.
Correct. And we're only 10% of the market, too, effectively.
Yeah.
So the Reserve Bank tries to take everything into account. But at the end of the day, they're going to be more skewed towards what's happening on the East Coast. And that has been very difficult for them because they've actually wanted to slow the property market over East, but then they've needed to drop interest rates. Well, obviously, dropping interest rates, that fuels the market when it's booming.
Mm. Well, you talk about being 10% of the market. Does it wind up being a little bit like when it comes to, you know, national elections? It's kind of a little bit about what's really going on over there as to what makes decisions.
Well, it is like you're saying, Darren, with the commentators, and that's where it gets confusing because people hear, the market's strong and vacancy rates are low and think, wait a minute, no, it's not. Not here in Perth, but on the East Coast it is. So,
and that's driving a lot of decision-making there, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
And like we said, buyers like to buy on confidence, so they don't want to miss out. The market keeps going, and it tends to, in any market cycle, it tends to overshoot. and then undershoot like we've got at the moment, where it just goes a lot longer, lack of confidence, pent-up demand. Then all of a sudden people go, wait a minute, that's sold, and then it's back on again.
Is that what it is? It's just like a floodgate?
It's a herd mentality, really. Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's the reality, it really is. The markets, whether it's the stock market or real estate market, it's built on fear and greed, really. You know, we all want to make a bit of money, and we're all a bit frightened when the market's down.
Now, Paul, yours is the kind of document side, the legal side of the business. Do you find that people are kind of stricter about what's, you know, written into contracts at this time, or is this a time, I mean, is there a time when, you know, the legal side of it is kind of perused?
Yeah, look, probably that can depend upon the individual. A lot of people are cavalier, and when times are good, one of the funny things about that is that people sometimes don't really want to talk about the minutiae of these things because you sort of like being a bit of a killjoy if you say, well, I don't know if I'd have that clause in there, and it becomes...
And there's so much confidence. It's
absolutely.
Let's get on with it. Let's do it. Let's
get the house. On the other hand, when times are tough, some people can be desperate and therefore not be thinking about some of the minutiae they need
so
to be
thinking
about.
So it's a bit of both. You can ignore it at your peril at any time.
I think that's right, yeah. So, look, you know, you've got to be commercial. You can't get to a point where you're jumping at shadows when you're involved in commercial negotiations or contracts. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you know, getting proper advice, and in real estate, obviously, you have real estate agents who are trained, or if things get really complicated, you can go to a lawyer and all of that sort of stuff. If you just sort of blindly go along and start writing out your own contracts and don't do things very sophisticated, given the amount of money that most people are spending on buying a house, they do so at their own peril. Mm.
And if it goes wrong, it's an expensive mistake to make.
Well, everything's fine until something goes wrong,
isn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes it can be expensive emotionally. That means that you might lose the house or indeed just get involved in a fight. And most people don't like being involved in a fight.
That sucks all the joy out of what would otherwise be, you know, a house proud, you know, joyous experience.
Yeah.
Hey, love to hear from you. 922-11882. If you've got any property questions, if they want to go down a legal path, then Paul's the man there. Or if you want to talk, I mean, do you get people asking you, Rob, should I sell it myself?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I imagine I know what your answer
probably
would
more
be.
On the radio on this show than out there in the world of real estate, because they call you in as an agent. But and people have every right to sell their own home, absolutely. But it is a fairly small part of the market, right. and I think as agents, I'd have to say I think we're lucky in the sense that the buyers also like to transact through a competent REWA real estate agent. They feel comfortable, and the transaction for real estate, that third party in between, it's very difficult to, you know, Paul and myself, okay, we're friends, but, you know, let's say we're not and we don't know each other, and Paul's selling his house and I'm trying to buy. We have totally conflicting interests.
Of course.
And it's very hard. There's nobody in the middle there trying to get the deal together. And look, the reality in the property market is, as agents, we get the sellers to a realistic figure and we get the buyers to a realistic figure.
Right.
And it's somewhere in between, generally speaking. And, you know, leave them to themselves, you know, in most cases it wouldn't happen. So it doesn't mean you can't do it yourself, but you do have to have some negotiations.
That's right. And one of the things is, when you don't have experience, look how we're peddling around barrows here, but ultimately when you don't have experience, then things are not dealt with sometimes that need to be dealt with. Right. And from a legal perspective, the death of all of these things is when there is uncertainty. Because when there's uncertainty, that's when people, after the event, come in and start litigating. And you want to avoid that in this experience.
Because that just adds to costs. And as you were talking about before, all of the kind of emotional dramas that go along with it. Well, give us a buzz. 922-11882. Don't leave it till the end. Get in here and take advantage. We're talking property, whether you want to talk about buying or selling, investing. We'll talk about rent stuff too. All options on the table here. And we are going to have a chat and a tick about those recent figures, Rob.
REWA figures from December quarter. Quite interesting how the market's planning out. I think we've got REWA President Hayden Groves on shortly.
All right, we'll do that in moments. Stay with us. 922-11882, 9:15.
We're talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds. The Rumour File.
Rumour has it that the city of Joondalup are sending rangers out to inspect all the residents' verges in the city. They haven't got 50% of their verge, either grass, mulch or sand, that it needs to be made that way. The whole verge is paved. The rangers got a knock on their door.
You're joking. You'd have to rip the pavers up.
Yep.
Have you heard a hot rumour? The Rumour File. Weekday mornings at 7 on Breakfast with Steve Mills and Basil Zemplis, where all the big stories break.
Dreaming of a holiday? Don't miss Australia's biggest and best travel expo. Research, compare and book hundreds of exclusive deals. Talk to world experts and attend free travel presentations. This weekend only, Perth Convention and Exhibition Centre from 10 a.m. Entry is free.
Hey, how was your day?
Yeah, good. Oh, I had so much work to do, but Deborah kept distracting me because she's really excited about that holiday that I told you about to Bali. And she cannot stop talking about all the clothes she's going to buy. Oh, speaking of clothes, I really need to go shopping this weekend because I have...
Some things are better... shorter. Autumn enrolments for Tewitt College's range of short courses for adults are now open.
Ooh, so, how was your day?
Yeah. Good.
Go to tewittcollege.wa.edu.au.
If you've got a tree and it's been a little tricky, up in the hills or here in the city, it could be a big one, a small one, a short one, or a tall one.
Got a tree and it's being a little tricky.
Jump on the phone and whack it with a dickie.
Hey, how's your history? Dickie's Trees have long been Perth's best tree service company. Call Dickie's Trees or Google them.
Dickie's Trees.
Buying or selling your property? Then you'll need a settlement agent. If you are dealing with a licensed settlement agency, that's good. If your settlement agent is a member of the Australian Institute of Conveyances, WA, that's even better. And if your settlement agent is a certified practicing conveyancer, then you've got the best. Before you buy or sell, be sure to visit aicwa.com.au to find a certified practicing conveyancer in your local area. Think property, think CPC.
The Happy New Year caravan sale ends Sunday, and it's your last chance to pick up a New Age caravan right now at a sensational bargain price. Check out the luxury and comfort of New Age caravans, like the Oz Classic, or the Big Red family-sized caravan, or slide into a glider pop top, or the range of Manta Rays to suit your family's budget. The Happy New Year caravan sale ends Sunday. Stocks are limited, so hurry and get a New Age for the new year and enjoy a new age of living. Check out newagecaravans.com.au for your nearest dealer.
Until 10, this is Talking Property.
Hello there, Darren DeMello looking after it for Harvey, and Rob Druitt from First National Druitt and Shared, and Paul Donovan from MDS Legal aboard to take any queries that you have. 922-11-882, 19999-677. You can email us too if you want to, but we are in the moment talking... Well, I guess the green shoots, Rob, they've been long talked about,
there
haven't they?
The green shoots. Yeah, and look, it would appear that there is some green shoots. Want to use that analogy? it's a bit worn out, that one. But the market has stabilised, I would say, and certainly the latest REWA figures show that.
So on the line to talk us through the latest figures is REWA President Hayden Graves. Morning, Hayden.
Good morning, Darren, and hello to you too, Rob and Paul.
G'day, Hayden.
Morning. So what do you make of the figures? It's stabilising would be a fair word, wouldn't it?
Well, look, just like you, Rob, I don't like using the phrase green shoots.
Yes. That's right. A bit of sun and they soon turn around.
But look, it is... there's been so many green shoots around for or spoken of that there's almost aphids sitting on those green shoots waiting for them to sprout. But look, if you look at the results, the pleasing result is the transactional activity in the December quarter. Mm. By the time the final numbers do come in, which will be around the middle of this month, I think we'll see a significant increase in transactional activity up towards about 8,000. Which you compare that to the September quarter, there's only about 6,500 transactions. So another 1,500 transactions in the December quarter is very pleasing.
And about 8,000 is about normal, isn't it?
That's about right. So it's nice to see that we're getting back to some sort of semblance of normalcy. And, you know, a lot of people talk about how terrible the Perth property market has been and how challenging it is and rents are falling and values are falling. But if you look at, you know, some of the results in the December quarter, you've got places like Callaroo, Shenton Park, South Guildford, very different suburbs suburbs across all sorts of demographic, with a median price in South Guildford of $560,000 all the way through to Shenton Park with a median at $1.3 million. You've got everything in between and lower priced as well, where you're seeing positive moves in the median price. And look, you remember when the GFC hit us? Mm. It was red ink across the board. There wasn't one suburb that was actually showing some positive growth. And now we're seeing... very many suburbs throughout the metropolitan area and in the regions starting to show some positive median house price growth and impressive numbers too, you know, double-digit numbers.
And rental market perhaps starting to stabilise as well?
Well, rental market, you know, that's been you know, very tough, hasn't it? Particularly with supply levels being at the rate that they're at, you know, over 10,000 listings for less. In fact, you know, 11,000 plus.
And we'd say a long term average maybe around 3,000.
Yeah, that's right.
The numbers speak for themselves, don't they?
Exactly right. Now, look, I think with our population now, I think the Times is saying that market parity was around that 4,000 to 5,000 is probably behind us. It's, I think it's more like 6,000 nowadays. So we're about double the supply level that we really need. But there's, you know, 25% increase in the last 12 months in leasing activity. So people are mobile. You know, tenants are thinking, well, now's the time. I can find a place that meets my needs, that's affordable. I can, you know, I don't have to share the couch.
There'd be a lot of that happening, I would imagine. People coming out of shared arrangements, which they needed to do when the market, rental market was very high in 2012, and taking up the leases themselves. You know, they can get a little two-bed or three-bed for $300 a week, where it was $400, $500 back in the boom.
That's right. Less couch surfing required for a lot of tenants, and that's a good thing.
Hayden, what's it looking like for the more commercial side of rentals? Because you go through certain places and you see a lot of signs out. Is that stabilising too, or has that got some work to do?
Well, the commercial sector does have some work to do, particularly in places that are traditionally occupied by mining-related industry, not directly mining industry, but mining-related, mining services, right, too, particularly through the West Perth region. There's still a very high vacancy rate in the commercial sector. We probably won't see another significant building for commercial purposes constructed in Perth for some time because the supply is certainly outstripping demand at the moment. And there's some very good, you know, businesses can negotiate some very, very keen rents and incentives, particularly with their commercial leases right now.
Talking about commercial, it's quite phenomenal, isn't it, the number of new hotels under construction and recently completed in Perth. You would think perhaps that might overshoot the market a little, but there'll be winners because there'll be cheap rooms and for people coming to Perth.
Well, look, that's right. And you know, certainly with the new Qantas route between, you know, here and London starting next year.
That's going to be a big boost.
I understand that tickets for that will go on sale in the next couple of months. Mm. That, I think, will be a significant boost because people from the East Coast who traditionally fly through Singapore and Dubai and other areas in order to get to Europe, we'll start to come to Perth. And so hopefully that'll soak up some of the supply of some of those new
Hopefully they might
nice
come for
hotels.
A few days and enjoy the wonderful weather and...
Yeah, and buy some property while they're here.
And buy some property while they're here. Because, I mean...
Spend some money, Rob, here whilst they're here and spend some of their money that they've managed to gain in their price property values that have increased in Sydney and Melbourne in the last 5 years.
Exactly. Because, I mean, Perth is going to take on a completely different shape and feel over the next 5 years. When you look at the Burswood precinct there, what's happening there... redevelopment through there, obviously the new stadium. You've got the waterfront development there. We don't talk about a lot, just near the bridge there.
Is there more to come with Elizabeth Quay too?
Well, they've sold the land. They've done very well there, and more hotels in there, but that's going to be really good once that's built out. King Street District, you've got all of that. You know, the sinking of the railway. There's a lot of new development happening through Perth that's going to come together in the next couple of years and change the dynamics and livability of the city dramatically.
Well, I think we have to remember too that, you know, if we have some 600,000 more residents living in Perth and surrounds in the last decade. And, you know, it does take a while for infrastructure to catch up when you have such a strong influx of new residents coming into the state. And so whilst we have seen, you know, that population growth figure slow in recent times, we still have positive population growth. So there, we will need this infrastructure. We will need more housing and hotels and land releases in the years to come. So it just takes a little while for that to get from a thought to fruition, doesn't it?
Doesn't it always?
And that's part of the...
Well, Elizabeth Keys is only 30 years.
Yeah, sorry.
We got there, though.
Yeah, we got there in the end. So, look, it's so exciting time, I think, in 2017 for Perth property. Great opportunities. I think we'll start to see transaction activities begin to lift, particularly in the trade-up area, areas that are aspirational suburbs, particularly throughout the western suburbs and coastal suburbs of Perth, where, you know, really, up until recently, it was out of the reach of many people, and now it is more affordable.
Well, Rob's dubbing it the consolidation year for 2017, so there you go.
Like it will be.
Year of consolidation. Well, I'm calling it the year of opportunity, Rob, so consolidation and opportunity, suppose we can pick a slogan for our year.
It's not the year of living dangerously anymore.
No. No,
all good things
not.
To put on the number plates at some point. REWA President Hayden Groves, great to chat and get your insights on the state of the Perth property market. Thank you for your time this morning.
Great to be with you, and good morning to all your listeners.
There you go, 9221882. If you want to weigh in on any of that, maybe you can feel it from the inside and tell us what you think the state of the Perth market's at. We've got a caller or two here. Jerry and Corrine, hello there.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Jerry.
G'day, Jerry.
Thanks for your patience. How can we help you?
I want to ask a question about the sunset clause. I bought an apartment off the plan in April 2014, mid-April. When I signed that offer and acceptance, is that the start of the 48 months of the sunset clause?
So just tell me about what the 48 months was in your clause.
Well, when I signed up, I heard nothing about the sunset clause. I hadn't even heard of it.
Right. And
it's come up after, because what's happened, the whole project has come to a grinding halt. And what they say, the new lender requires me to sign an additional amendment to take the sunset clause out much further to, I think, November 2019.
Okay, and when did you sign the contract?
April the 14th, 2014.
Oh, okay, 14, yeah, okay. So, so look, generally, and that's the case, isn't it, Paul, most of the developments off the plan, there will be a time period ending, a sunset clause. There has to be, otherwise contract carries on forever.
Yeah, well, you really have two elements of that. You first of all have the whole planning process that's governed by the Strata Titles Act, and goes through a process that has then either the statutory time or what's in the contract. And then often you might have a problem with the actual building of the premises. And there was a caller that we had on this show last year who ultimately came and got some advice from me where there had just been a delay in building that had gone on for years and years and years. And in that case, the buyer had just had enough and said, well, look, I want to be able to get out of this. Yeah. There'd been some funny clauses written into his contract that ultimately had to be overcome, but that was able to be done and the person was able to get out of the contract. So it can depend, Jerry, of course, whether or not you want to continue with the contract or not.
Well, I want to get out of it if I can.
Well, it may well be that you would have a good chance of being able to do so from what you've said, but that would depend upon the terms of the contract and where they all are in the planning process. But
if they're asking you to sign something else and extend, then there might be an opening there.
Definitely.
See, I have never signed anything at all. They asked me about a year ago, did I want to take it out to 56 months? And I just didn't sign it, the variation.
Would you like to wait forever? Just sign this form.
Yeah. Yes, well, they reckon they're going to start again in April and finish in 2018 and in December, but that's a long time away too.
And, Jerry, do you know where they are in the planning process?
No, I don't.
So, really,
what they've just done, they've just been able to get finance from an Eastern States group. That's what they only sent me the email last night, so that's why I haven't heard from them for a year.
Well, particularly with it being strata, if the issue is going to be that they haven't complied with planning processes, then and time's run out on that, there's a need for you to be actively doing something if you want to bring the contract to an end.
Okay.
And probably the same goes with respect to if the problem is also a delay in just them building the building that you want to have put up there. But, look, it may well be, from what you've said, that you would have rights to be able to terminate the contract.
Okay. And do you have to pay stamp duty? That's another thing. They had something there about stamp duty. The Revenue Department stamp duty. Do you have to pay that? When do you have to pay that?
There's concessions for that and time period. Didn't used to be, and you used to have to pay it after a fairly short time after your contract, whereas now it's 2 years maybe?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it's 2 years after...
From signing. Right.
But you are able to, if your requirement to pay stamp duty arises and you've paid the stamp duty and then the contract's come to an end, you're able to get a refund of that duty on the basis of the contract having been cancelled.
Right. It all comes back to the contract, doesn't it, Paul?
It does.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much for your help.
Thanks, Jerry.
Interesting. Talking of sunset clauses, I mean, are they generally so that you can essentially keep a contract alive?
Absolutely.
If there's delays, is that the main reasoning behind them?
To give the developer some flexibility.
Right.
And, of course, this is an example of the correction of the market. What happens and what's happened is we've had a big building boom, you should say. I hate to use that word, but it really was in 2013, 14 through 15, and there's an oversupply. Then the market needs to correct. So a lot of the developments aren't stacking up. You can't get the pre-sales. The banks need a certain percentage to cover and comfort.
Yep.
So they're not happening. So with all good intentions, the developers go ahead. They can't sell enough properties. They then try to refinance with someone. It all takes time.
Mm.
So time gets eaten up, 12 months down the track, 24 months down the track. They haven't started the building yet. Of course, they want to keep their contracts there because that's critical to having the development stack up. But some of these developments are not going to go ahead, and they can't because the market needs to correct. We need a little bit less supply coming through. We need that supply that's in there now to be eaten up, and then we move back into a more normal market.
It's amazing how often people will just try to squeeze as much hope out of these things as they can when they're the developers. So yes. Literally sometimes...
Well, they've invested a lot of money. It's a problem.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of sunk costs, so it's like we just got to keep going.
Yeah. And sometimes...
Not walk away from it.
And sometimes, to go back to that one that I was saying the caller to this show had asked about last year, years had gone by and there'd been no building. Now, there is a requirement in the general conditions that building occur, you know, in effect as soon as practicable. But in this,
but even that's a grey area, isn't it? As soon as practical.
And the developer had crossed that out.
Oh, right.
So there was no sunset clause as such within there as to when the thing needed to be built ever. And of course, ultimately, there is, you know, the law would intervene and say, well, there are implied terms that it can't take forever. But in that instance, the bloke was able to get out of the contract because there'd been a failure to get planning through. So he automatically was able to go in and go, bang, I'm out. Now, that then brought down a house of cards where another person pulled out as well. So you can imagine that for that developer,
things
got very ugly.
Which is probably why they're kind of so keen to just say, look, let's extend it.
Yeah.
Let's make this keep going.
Definitely,
We'd love to hear from you. 9221 882. Doris in Adderdale. We'll get to your strata question in just a tick. We're here with Rob Drewitt from First National Drewitt and Sheard and Paul Donovan from MDS Legal. So we talk property here at 6PR, 28 to 10.
We're talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.
If you're over 50, you're probably an ideal customer for a car insurance company. Most over 50s take fewer risks, are more reliable, and more loyal than younger customers. And you should be rewarded for that. The 50 Up Club now have group discounted car insurance offers available for anyone who joins at 50upclub.com.au. If you haven't switched car insurance before or shopped around for a while, there's a good chance you could be paying hundreds more than you need to. There's no time like the present. Go to 50upclub.com.au to see the offers now. Joining the 50 Up Club is cost and obligation free. Don't miss your chance to save on your car insurance costs. 50 Up Club offers don't last forever, and more than 230,000 members can't be wrong. Go to 50upclub.com.au for more information.
There's no better way to enjoy summer than with a morning of music and making new friends. Stockland Retirement Living invites you to join us for swinging jazz at Affinity Village on Thursday, February 23. Experience the village lifestyle our residents enjoy while you relax with music and morning tea. Bookings are essential by calling 1800 72 71 70 or visit retire.com.au. Stockland, it's your place.
Settlement agents, also known as conveyancers, are professionally trained to represent sellers and buyers in the settlement process, transferring the legal ownership of property. The Australian Institute of Conveyancers WA recommends you appoint a licensed settlement agent before you buy or sell your property. Consumers have the right to choose their own settlement agent. You don't have to use the one recommended by a real estate agent. Head to aicwa.com.au and enter your postcode to find a settlement agent in your area.
Direct from Las Vegas for their record-breaking return, Oh What a Night! A jaw-dropping musical tribute to Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons with all the hits. Sherry, Big Girls Don't Cry, Walk Like a Man, Ragdoll, Silence's Golden and a whole lot more. Don't miss the Las Vegas show performing at Crown Theatre Thursday, February 9. Book now at Ticketmaster.
Buying, selling or renting. Get Perth's best real estate advice now. Call 922 11 882.
Talking Property, Rob Drewitt from First National Drewitt and Shed and Paul Donovan from MDS Legal aboard. And yes, if you're wondering, I'm not Harvey, it's Darren DeMello helping out as
yes,
well.
Yes, we didn't mention that, that good old Harvey's on a well-earned break.
So Harvey's like...
He'll be back next week.
Cool. But yes, happy to take your calls in the meantime. 922 11 882. And Doris in Adderdale wants to talk strata. Morning, Doris.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello, Doris.
Hello. Yeah, just a question. I'm an owner in a 4-individual unit strata with nobody corp, and we have one common driveway between us all.
Right, yes, we've got the picture. Yep.
We've got a garden bed, approximately 600 centimetres wide, right up that driveway on the other, on the left-hand or the other side of the buildings. The previous, well, before I came into the strata, we had damage to the fence, and the fence was down, and there was several, well, probably about 10 conifers, and this damaged fence and was down, or still partially up, being held by these conifers, and the fence, the conifers had been doing damage to the adjacent neighbour. But since being in there, we've been chatting with the neighbours, keeping it nice and cool, and we've managed to get the conifers removed.
Right.
By removing the conifers, the fence ended up coming down completely.
Yes.
But that's fine. That went ahead all right, and we were going to very unanimously put up a new fence between the 4 units,
yes,
sharing the 50% cost, and the adjacent neighbour doing the other 50%.
Because if I'm right, that's on common property there, so therefore
common,
it's shared between the 4 owners. Yes, that's per the unit entitlement.
All very unanimous. Unfortunately,
this doesn't sound like it's going to end
however,
in a happy story.
I feel like there's a but.
There's a but here, a big but. Yes.
There is a but. It has gone a little bit sour. We've had one tree up the very top, which created a problem. It is a jacaranda. It's still there. It's quite a small jacaranda that has had created a problem between the adjacent neighbour and one of our owners.
Right.
The other owner is under rental, so we don't know what the actual owner's opinion is on it.
Right.
But that jacaranda didn't come out, so therefore the fence got put on hold. Now, this has gone on for about 8 months now. So I spoke to the adjacent neighbour, and she informed me that she was going to put the fence on hold for a little bit longer, personal reasons, don't know why. So I informed the other owners that this fence was not going to go up for a little while.
The wheels have fallen off it completely, haven't they?
The wheels have fallen off completely. The window of opportunity fell over. Anyway, since then, this is where my issue has been coming in now, is one of our owners has decided to create his own privacy and put in
his own fence.
Plants. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's had one apricot tree there all along, which is about 3 metres high. He's now planted a bay tree, which is about 6 metres high, slow growing, 6 metres high after it does grow. Apricot tree, 2 fruit trees, and 6 new conifers.
Right.
And they've all been planted approximately 300 centimetres off the boundary.
Okay, so they're on common property, effectively.
On common property.
Yeah. Which, the thing about common property is it's common property, and therefore it has to be dealt with through the strata, effectively. And generally when you've got a group of 4 there, you say there's no body corporate, it's an old term, there's the strata company. There's always a strata company in the background.
Must always be.
It doesn't have to be active as such, but usually in a small group like that, you have a council of owners that will be able, who've been elected to make decisions. But generally, we've got a small group. It's just a matter of agreement amongst parties. But shouldn't really be planting things and doing things on common property without agreement of the other owners. So you're in a little bit of a difficult bind there because I'm just imagining this property without a fence and wondering how long that can carry on for. Look, you've just got to keep working on it and try and get the owners together to come to some agreement, and so you can get the fence repaired. But the owner that has planted on the common property, technically they shouldn't be doing that without your approval, with the other approval of the other owners.
That's right. And Doris, you've obviously got 2 problems that are interrelated. So far as the fence is concerned with the neighbour, then you've got to, if you can't reach some agreement and no fence is there and it becomes untenable, that you've got to then rely upon the Dividing Fences Act, and notices are given, and ultimately it has to involve the Magistrates Court if there can't be an agreement. But,
yeah.
You know, you obviously just can't leave it so that there's no fence. But then likewise, Rob's completely correct that, as usual, you can't be in a position where you are just taking common property into your own hands and treating it as your own. So Rob's also correct that the best way of dealing with these things is always to just try to sit down and organise them. And that is, I know from what you've just said, is what you've been trying to do, but I really do urge you
but
to continue
like
to do so.
It beats the alternative of getting the heavyweights involved on a legal front, because that just makes it messier, doesn't it?
It's just a nightmare. I remember years ago when I was a young bloke that there was a dispute with some people.
How many years ago?
A long time ago. A strata company where someone was actually pruning a tree so it would grow in front of a guy to break out his and block out his view. So people can get really obsessed with these strata common property arguments, and reasonable people can become very unreasonable. And the challenge, more than any legal issue or anything, Doris, is to just sort of try to keep a lid on these things so that people come to an agreement. But I appreciate it can be more difficult
be
than
tough.
Said, yeah.
And are the trees, in the bigger picture, are the trees that this owner's planted, are they causing distress to the other owners? Is it that bad?
I have no idea at this point. I haven't spoken to the adjacent neighbour regarding it. I just know what had been caused. And, you know, I suppose my questions or solutions to some of the things I would like to ask is, you know, obviously the rights, which you've just gone through, the obligations you've gone through. If there's no support from the others, what can I do? And then can I exclude, this is the one, like I can see a potential problem down the track. I'm planning on being there 15, 20 years at least if I can. And I want to know whether they are going to cause a problem. One of my discussions with one of the owners was they're not going to be a problem for at least 10 years. Well, I plan to be there longer than that. Can I exclude myself legally from any claim of damage? Or can I exclude myself for any future costs for removal in my claim? Like
you're talking about from the trees?
The trees.
Promise it's on common property, so it's the responsibility of the strata company.
Yeah,
and that's the whole point. So, yeah, you're all in it, all involved in it.
You've got to sit down and talk by the sound of things. You've really got to try and get everyone together.
We've had a few gatherings, the owners, but it's very adamant that this one tree wasn't going to come out, and this is where this has all gone from just purely that one tree.
You might need a third-party arbitrator, I'd say.
Perhaps. Is there a good place that people can go to, for example,
You
can
talk to Peter Munday, who's our strata expert, and Peter Munday would be able to represent you or represent the strata company.
Doris, we'll put you back on hold, and we'll get to Peter's details back to you. So we'll put you back to Andrew for that.
Sometimes you need a third party to come in and sort it out.
Yeah, and look, often that can be just someone to come in who's independent, who acts as an informal mediator.
Mm. Yeah. All right.
Consumer straight talk to everyone.
Andrew will take your details and sort that out. All right, let's have a quick chat to Bob and Clarkson. Thank you. Hopefully we can... they can get messy, can't they, those over-the-fence situations? Yeah. But Bob and Clarkson, now, I don't know if we'll get through this quickly.
It's worse when there's no fence.
Yeah. You've got a drama with a property?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Bob.
It's just a question in regard to my grandson is in the throes of purchasing a property in Musselton.
Right.
And he's been informed that in 2010,
it was
used as a meth lab.
Right.
My concern is that if there's any chemical residue in the property as a result of it, what legal recourse has he got against anybody?
Look, serious issue this, right across the state stigmatised properties, you know, where there's something has dramatically happened to the property which affects the usability and value of the property. It needs, particularly meth lab, yes, you're on the right. My understanding is that the chemicals can be are very serious, and if it's not rectified at the time, then obviously there's residual and so on. So I guess that's the key, is to find that out. The legal side of things, well...
Bob, who's given the disclosure that it was used as a meth lab? Meth house.
Are you there, Bob?
Yeah. I don't know whether the meth lab was being used as the property as the owner or as a renter
But who's given the disclosure? Who's told your son that it
was it the agent?
Is it the owner or the agent who's told you?
He went to the police department. He heard a rumor about it and went to the police department. They told him yes, it was used as a meth lab in 2010.
Yeah, well, look, a lot of people hearing that news would then say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that house. But, of course, it can depend upon price and all of that sort of stuff. So
it was 6 years ago, too.
Yeah, and look, and with these sorts of things, it all depends upon what risk that you want to take. But what I'd suggest, if I was still going to be interested in buying the property, I'd have a clause put into the contract that following the offer being accepted, there can be a independent analysis done. If that independent analysis comes back with a negative, that there are residues there and there's a health threat and all of that sort of stuff, the contract's able to be terminated by your son, the buyer. Alternatively, of course, you can just go to the seller and say, look, I understand that this is the case and I want you or I'm prepared myself to go in and do an analysis before the actual offer is put in, although that's probably less likely than the first alternative I gave.
Bob, it's been 6 years by the sounds of it, and is the property's obviously been occupied since then?
It has been occupied, but it's empty at the present moment. He's paid top dollar for it, and he's at the present moment seeking information from the health department.
Okay, yeah. So he's already entered into a contract.
He's entered into the contract. He's seeking finance, which is due next week. And I don't think he's going to be in a position to put any additional clause into the contract. That's why I'm sort of just making some inquiries to see what
I wasn't appreciating that the contract had actually been signed, and that, of course, does make a change. But look, as Rob's mentioned, there is this issue of stigmatised property and whether or not there's been a disclosure given about first of all, a material fact. There's an obligation upon real estate agents to be disclosing material facts. And there is also in the general law an obligation upon sellers to be, in effect, disclosing those matters that a buyer would expect to have disclosed. And in these days, the fact that a place has been a meth lab may well fall into that sort of situation. So I'd be suggesting, given that there is a contract, that your son should go to the seller and the agent and say, look, I understand that this is the case. I've paid top dollar for it. I'm concerned about it. I may well have rights now what I can do with the contract, and I want there to be open access given to the health department and any other authorities to just assure me that this is all okay. That'd be the starting point, I think. And then if that doesn't work, it may be that there'd be legal rights that your son could exercise if he decided he wanted to get out of the contract.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay,
all right, Bob, hopefully that's some help for you there, mate. And if anybody finds themselves in a situation where they might need the advice of the meth helpline, I don't know if it necessarily helps in these real estate situations, but you never know. 1-800-874-878 is the number. We'll come back in a tick as we continue to talk property with Carlin Belmont shortly.
We're talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds. Every Sunday morning on 6PR, we open the door to the House of Wellness.
What's the House of Wellness all about? Well, it's about helping you get well, and helping you stay well. But it's also about living a great life and looking fabulous. Every week on the show, we talk to experts who help you get the most out of life. Plus, our resident pharmacist, Gerald Quigley, takes your calls. Get well, stay well, live well, and look fabulous with the House of Wellness.
Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings. The House of Wellness, now at the new time of 6, every Sunday morning on 882 6PR.
The 50 Up Club's latest life insurance offer is closing soon, so there's no time like the present to get a quote. Thousands of over 50s have got 50 Up life insurance quotes, and the latest offer has seen a huge response. You get a massive 25% discount on your first year of 50 Up life insurance, and after that, you still get a 20% discount for the life of your cover. Hurry, get an obligation-free quote at 50upclub.com. 50 Up Life Insurance cover is issued by Australian-owned, award-winning Noble Oak Life Limited and subject to underwriting processes. Any general advice provided by Noble Oak does not take into account your individual objectives, financial situation or needs. To ensure this cover is right for you, please read the PDS at 50upclub.com.au.
Dreaming of a holiday? Don't miss Australia's biggest and best travel expo. Research, compare and book hundreds of exclusive deals. Talk to world experts and attend free travel presentations. This weekend only, Perth Convention and Exhibition Centre from 10 a.m. Entry is free.
There's no better way to enjoy summer than with a morning of music and making new friends. Stockland Retirement Living invites you to join us for swinging jazz at Affinity Village on Thursday, February 23. Experience the village lifestyle our residents enjoy while you relax with music and morning tea. Bookings are essential by calling 1800 72 71 70 or visit retire.com.au. Stockland, it's your place.
Not only does Supercool design, supply and install only the best Daikin systems, they've now been one of the best in the business for 20 years.
Daikin has a wide range of split and ducted air conditioning solutions to keep you very warm in winter and super cool in summer. See the team at Supercool for a great quote to celebrate their 20th air-iversary. And they'll even throw in some free air.
Contact your Daikin specialist at supercoolwa.com. That's S-U-P-A.
Wow!
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 Wow.
Wow.
It's the Wow 4-Day Sale on now at Wizard Pharmacy with up to 25% off our already low prices on skincare, cosmetics and fragrance. There's free giveaways and a chance to win a $250 gift hamper. Plus, rewards members earn points on every dollar they spend in store. That's enough to make you say,
wow!
The Wow 4-Day Sale on now at your discount chemist, Wizard Pharmacy, where good health has its rewards. Sale ends 5th of February 2017. Exclusions apply. Full terms and conditions at wizardpharmacy.com.au.
Wow. Have you been waiting for the right time to service your car?
If yes, then you have to consider the $159 car service offer that over 30 AHG Auto and Tyre Service Centres have on right now. Head to ahgautoservice.com.au to see the full offer on any model car and book your $159 service.
Call 1-800-AHG-123 or go to ahgautoservice.com.au, where the best costs no more.
We're talking gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR.
Well, that's
the voice of Perth.
Clearly not true.
we can try.
Look, you know, we were talking about green shoots and aphids earlier on.
That's be very simple gardening questions, otherwise we're not going to get you the right answer.
No, we're talking property. Rob Drewitt from First National Drewitt and Sheared and Paul Donovan from MDS Legal here to answer your calls. I don't know how many we'll get through, but 922-11-882 if you do have any questions, anything at all, legal, property, rent, investment, anything that you want to take advantage of. We talked about some of the results of the figures coming out from RERA, Rob, for the back end of last year. Is the median house price moving, or is that...?
It was stable.
Stable, okay.
Yeah. So that sort of gave us about 520 is the current RERA figure, and that'll be revised when all of the figures come in. But it shows that the market has stabilised, which is the key. And I guess for buyers, that's always the concern. Oh, is it going down further? But we can see anecdotally from the activity out there that people are starting to think, okay, well, perhaps the market's hit its bottom and now's the time to buy.
Is there anything that you would kind of advise for somebody that's trying to get their place ready? I mean, apart from the obvious things, or is it just the obvious things to remind
people? It's just
people?
The obvious things, really. Yeah, presentation is very important. Clutter, even cleaning the windows, getting the gardens. You don't have to spend a fortune. Often the house, you're better off presenting it the way it is, depending on what you can use the property for. If you've got a development site and it's an old house, there's no point in spending a whole lot of money on it because it may just be rented for a short period and then knocked over. But at the same time, if it's a family home, you've got to hit on that market and go, right, okay, family's going to come in here, and particularly if it's like a first home buyer property, they're going to be stretched. They don't want to have to spend money on the property. Get those things done. People want to see a well-maintained property. Once they start looking, go, well, the gutters aren't working. Oh, that's on the downpipes are shot too, and the retic doesn't work. Poor, this is going to cost too much to fix. Not interested. They'll move on.
And now the other thing too is street appeal, isn't it? So, I mean, that's even before you walk in. It's always worthwhile making sure that it's not
absolutely
an eyesore.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. And it definitely impacts upon property. I had a property in Woodlands that I sold recently, and, you know, they had spent about $30,000 on it. And I'd say, without doubt, they added at least $100,000 to it. No question whatsoever.
And that was just on...
Maybe more, yeah. By doing necessary work that needed to be done on the property to present it well so that a family could come in and go, beautiful home, great, we can just move in and enjoy this.
Paul, is there anything in terms of clauses that we need to be concerned about at this point? I mean, we talked about, you know, sunset clauses and all the other things. I mean, are there sort of good guides that we can go into on the legal side of things?
Yeah, look, and it gets back to what we were talking about earlier, that there's just uncertainty is death in these sorts of things. So clauses that people might be putting in for all range of things need to be articulated in a way that, first of all the bases are covered, all of the things that need to be covered, and that they're clearly written. And that's whether or not you're drafting them yourselves or whether or not you're using some external advice. That's the key. Interesting, the call with Bob about stigmatised properties. Maybe one day we'll have a chat about on this property, because it is such a difficult thing.
When does it stop being stigmatised property? Six years, was a meth lab. If it was all cleaned up, a new owner, people have rented the property. When does it finish? When do you say, well, that was the history? That
would
was
there
the
be
past.
A requirement if it's been cleaned up? You imagine maybe not so much. But there's no hard
it's
and
a grey
fast
area.
Rules,
it's
it is really, really difficult. And very often it just depends as much as anything on the stigma that the property carries. So it may be that there's been a...
How well known, I suppose, death in the community, isn't it?
Yep, yeah. And look, the courts have intervened a bit in this in trying to work out some form of way forward. It's interesting, in the United States, they've tried to legislate in relation to it, and I think every state's done it differently.
Well, as you would expect, the states would.
Complicated.
That makes it, I mean, it makes it so difficult when you talk about, you know, it's the perception in the market of the value of the property. Like, how does one go about measuring that?
Well, you know, it's a negative aspect, obviously, and different people perceive things differently. The way I see it with a stigmatised property, and the classic example is a well, unfortunately, publicised murder in a property that's well known in the community.
Yep.
That definitely has a material impact upon the property. Half the community wouldn't touch it. They're not interested in having the property at all. And the other half who are interested in buying it then use it as a negotiation point to get the property
of
cheaper.
Of course.
That just seems to be the reality.
Yeah.
So people see things differently, and that's perfectly understandable. We're all different.
And people always have to be very careful about telling half-truths. So the classic example is someone who says, this is a great area for little kids, and around the corner there's a guy who's on the paedophile register.
Sure.
And they know about it.
You
start giving that half-truth, well, it really then takes the debate out of the theoretical, because you're then misleading people. You're saying it's a great place for kids, and that's not
the case. Look, the main thing is things have changed a lot in the last 10, 20 years in real estate. There's some great, much greater onus on agents to disclose.
So talk to your agent, I guess, is the key.
Yeah, and you know, you just and when you sit down with your seller too, you need to ask the right questions as an agent and say, look, is there anything I need to know about the property and so on. I mean, as agents, we can only disclose what we know, but if we do know a material fact, we are obliged to disclose it to a buyer. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you as always for dropping in. I think Harvey's going to be back on board next week. But we say thank you to Rob Drewitt from First National, Drewitt and Shed, and Paul Donovan from MDS Legal.
Thank you, Darren.
Until next time round, enjoy your afternoon.